Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of RedefinedOnline.org, covering the stories behind the new definition of public education. On this episode, Redefined senior writer Lisa Bowie talks to Jessica Bianchi, a nutrition manager for a Jacksonville nonprofit and a military wife. Her husband, Juan Santana, is a chief petty officer in the Navy. Both their son and daughter attend Catholic schools. The family recently appeared with Governor Ron DeSantis at the bill signing ceremony for HB 7045, the landmark legislation that expanded education choice and offered eligibility to active duty military families like theirs. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode.
Today, we have Jessica Bianchi. She is a nutrition services manager at a nonprofit in Jacksonville, and she is the mom of a military family. And we're just glad you decided to join us, and welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I understand you are from a military family, so tell me about that. Tell me about the branch your husband's serving in and when and why he joined the military. And by the way, thank you for you all for your service.
Yes, he's in the Navy. He's a chief petty officer in the Navy. He joined the Navy in 2003. We were just recently married, living in Puerto Rico. And one day we were just talking like very randomly. And he said, you know, I always wonder what it would be like to be in the Navy. I'm like, what? I said, well, why didn't you pursue it? I just never thought I, you know, would take the steps to do it. It was just like a random thought. And I said, well, if you want to do it, I'm always up for a change. I always wanted to live in different places and I like adventures. So I said, well, try it. I mean, because he was getting close, you know, he was 25, so he didn't want to be too old to join. And right then, September 11 happened. We were living really close to an airport back home, and the silence of not hearing any airplanes, the news, it really hit him. And he was like, I feel like I'm just sitting here. There's nothing I can do. And then I said, well, let's just take this step and do it and see what happens. And we've loved it so far. He wanted to make it a career. We've lived in Virginia. We've lived in Guam. And here in Jacksonville, Florida. So it's been really good. I have no complaints from the military. They've always been very considerate of our family needs and my children. So yes, that's been kind of our military, you know, road.
Tell me about your children.
So I have a 14-year-old boy. He just graduated eighth grade. And he goes to Morning Star School. It's a Catholic school in the Diocese of St. Augustine. He's a very special boy, obsessed with animals and dinosaurs since he was a little, like before he could read, he used to carry a little encyclopedia around of dinosaurs. And he's always been very special, very inquisitive. And then he, you know, he went to different schools. He had to adapt to the military life, being in different schools, like not staying like more than 2 years in the school. And he struggled quite a bit, not socially, but more like keeping up with what regular kids his age would do. Like he just was very withdrawn in his books. And, you know, he kind of wanted to be with mommy and daddy all the time because those were the constant people in his life. So he tried the public school system for quite a while until fourth grade. We kept going to IEP meetings, and he was when we were stationed in Guam, he was in pre-K, and the teachers raised some concerns with him. And that's when he got diagnosed with, at that point, they called it PDD-NOS, pervasive delay, none otherwise specified. And which is kind of what they explained to us was he has certain characteristics of autism, but he's not fully autistic. And also the ADHD is really, really, it's really hard with him. But then, you know, apparently things have changed and now he's just considered an autism spectrum. And they just didn't have the resources in Guam to offer any kind of assistance for him. So they sent us home to Virginia And we started doing, you know, occupational therapy, ABA therapy, and just trying to find, you know, what worked for him. And, you know, the military, they sent us back right away. And they kept us kind of grounded in the mainland. We couldn't go anywhere else because they had all these services to offer him. And when he was in fourth grade, you know, the IEP meetings were just getting, I mean, I understand any mother has to go through this. Regardless of what they're saying about your child, whether it's positive or negative, it's just an overload of information on your child. So you kind of cry in the parking lot before the meeting and after. It's just sometimes, you know, you do it alone. Your husband is deployed, so you have to do these meetings alone. And it's just, you're wondering constantly. You have all these professionals talking to you in the meeting, and you're just wondering, you know, what am I going to do with my child? What's going to become of my child? What's going to happen? Where does he fit? You know, all these things are going through your mind. So his teacher here in Jacksonville, she said, you know, there's not much we can do here for him. He needs accommodations. He's very bright, but he needs constant redirection. And I'm just afraid that the class size is too big for him. So she recommended I try private school. I didn't know that was an option for us. I didn't know that we could afford that. And she said, well, yeah, he can try either the Gardner or the McKay scholarships. I had no idea. I was like, what? All these years and now I find out? So I started literally a Google search, you know, private schools in Jacksonville. Of course, I started Catholic schools because that's, well, now that it was an option, I really wanted him to have a Catholic education. So I started and I just called so many schools and they said, you know, if he needs someone to assist him directly, then we can't provide any services for him. Until I got to Christ the King, it was like fourth or fifth in my, you know, on my list. And Stephanie Engelhardt, the principal, she said, I'll take her call. And she talked to me and she said, you know, I can't do it here for him, but the school next door, they have children with mild learning disabilities. It's called Morning Star, and they only have 12 children per classroom. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, I called them, I had to go on a waiting list. And, you know, it was just like, oh my God, because next door, Morningstar was, you know, they share a parking lot. So my daughter could start VPK, which I'll talk about my daughter in a little bit. she could start VPK at Christ the King with Ms. Engelhardt, and Jan, my son, would be able to go to Morningstar. And I didn't have to, you know, drive to places and my job and all that. So it was a godsend. He changed overnight when he joined this school. All the teachers there are special ed teachers and they get him. And then my daughter, which she's seven now, Gia, she goes to Christ the King and she's a little spitfire, enjoys dancing. You know, she likes to do a lot of things. So Christ the King was perfect for her because they do so many, they don't just read the book, take the test kind of school, you know, they have gardens, they have outdoor classrooms. They have a STEM teacher that, you know, is amazing. They do composting. They have a zoo at the school. They have dance classes. So she loved it. And I just went in there and all the moms, it was like, you know, meeting your tribe, you know, that you've lost for all this time. And you finally, because when you're military, you don't get to have those deep relationships with people. You know, it's temporary. You know, you're going to leave. So it just felt so at home that I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I told my husband, you get deployed or you get new orders, I'm staying in Jacksonville, Florida, in these schools, because I don't want to put my children through another change. They just blossomed. And we're so grateful, because I would have never been able to afford this. You know, I work full time. I sometimes work a job and a half to be able to make, you know, tuition for my daughter. And you know, all these extracurricular activities that she likes to enjoy. So having at least the tuition for my son was amazing. And we could focus on just getting tuition for my daughter. So it just, when I got the call from the principal, from Ms. Engelhardt again, and she said, you know, Jessica, they opened up. First, she said last year with the pandemic, she said they opened up the, you know, the range for the income. And I was like, oh my God, I tried, but I didn't qualify. And then a few weeks ago when she called me and she said, Jessica, now it's active military. You can apply again. I was just beside myself because it just, with these uncertain times, I'm always concerned. What if I lose my job? What if the government freezes again, and, you know, and they go through the lockdowns that they did in past years? What am I going to do about tuition? I have friends who had to change jobs completely with the pandemic. You know, they were grounded because they used to travel internationally. And all of a sudden, you have someone who, you know, has done IT all their lives internationally. And now, you know, he has to go drive trucks to make a living because he can't, you know, he had to close his business. So we were very nervous about, you know, making sure that we could afford tuition for Gia with this uncertain times. And this is just, you know, it's just a load has been lifted from our shoulders.
So I hear you saying that the school provided a sense of community for you.
Yes.
And your children.
Yes.
And I hear you saying that it was a struggle at times to get the money up to pay for both children to go to private school.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, you want to make sure, this is the one thing I always tell my husband, education goes before any other luxury that we might have. I'm not going to, you know, sacrifice my kids' education just so I can buy a nicer car or live in a nicer place. Education is number one. And we do what we have to do. You know, my husband has considered, you know, doing Uber on his extra time if he needs to. I do translations, like I freelance translating into Spanish. And I've had to, you know, come from home from the office and just sit down and work on, you know, on that, on translating documents for companies, because you have to make ends meet. You have to make sure your children can, you know, it's very hard because you're thinking what's going to happen. At the same time, Christ the King, they really understand that family struggle sometimes. With the pandemic, they learned that this is, you know, an everyday thing for a lot of people, you know. So they were very, very supportive on finding ways for us, you know, to be able to stay at Christ the King. But, you know, at least we felt that we could find ways to do it. You know, but it was just exhausting. It was exhausting to, you know, be able to, you know, come home from a full day at work and instead of hanging out with the kids, just log in the computer and start working again.
So when you found out this bill expanded to extend eligibility to military families, mm-hmm. How did you feel about that? What was your initial reaction?
I could not believe it. I was like, what? No, there must be some catch, you know? No. And Stephanie said, yes, you have to try it. Just apply. And she kept telling me, don't wait, just apply. And I said, they're not going to approve it. And she's like, no, you have to, because she was telling me, you know, when your husband retires and Gia's going to go to another school and you want to make sure that, you know, she's signed up for everything. And I just couldn't believe it. And it was just peace of mind, you know? And I kept telling the principal, Miss Stephanie, I keep telling her, I want to make sure that I get that letter saying, you know, your daughter has been approved. I feel like it's not real yet. Like I have to pinch myself. And because we were at the signing, you know, I joke with my friends and I say, they tell me anything about anything about the scholarship, I'm going to show them the pen that it was signed with, because I have it. I have the pen that the governor used to sign this law. And I have the picture with my daughter and my son and I and my husband just sitting next to the governor while he was signing the law. So we were so excited and we couldn't wait to spread the word. My husband called his friends from work too, and they've had similar situations where they just, you know, they would love their children to go to private school, but they don't think it's an option. So I know we have a few coworkers of my husband that are actually applying, and they were just ecstatic. And also they want to be able to come to our schools too, because that way we create a closer bond, like a family relationship with guys in the Navy too and their families, because some of them don't have absolutely anybody else here. So it's very important, those relationships. We don't like to be the families that just, you know, drop off and pick up and that's it. You know, we don't know the teachers. We don't know. No, we need to know who's around our children. So that's very important. So I know everybody was just so relieved, and we're hopeful. And we also feel that we're being appreciated for the sacrifices that we do for our country, because nobody makes a sacrifice for our country. We do it because we love our country, you know, and we do it because we don't want to feel like all these things, bad things are going on in the world, and we're just sitting here waiting for somebody to fix our problems. So we just feel very appreciated by, you know, the governor and just step up thinking of us. It was just, you know, so exciting, and it just felt warm and happy. And, you know, we're here. We remember you. We didn't forget about you. So that's exactly how we felt.
What was it like to meet the governor?
I was so excited. It's almost like a like surreal, because you see these people on TV and social media, and they're just names, you know. To actually be with them, and for them to tell you, hey, I'm gonna fix this for you, it's amazing. I felt so honored to have been chosen, and I was one of like, why did they pick me and my children? And we were like, but then when we saw him and we met all these senators and representatives that were there too, and everybody was so nice and asking us about our life story, it was a surreal experience. And the governor just, you know, he was the sweetest man with my children. He was just so funny and right on, you know, assertive. And this is, we're going to take care of you. And, you know, thank you for what you do. So it was amazing.
What advice do you have to other families who were new to Florida and looking for an education for their children?
I know when you move to a different state, you know, you do your research online and you look for the grades of the schools. But I really recommend they make that call to the school. They go to the schools and get a feel for the environment of the school. And the staff and the, you know, the principal, because they're the ones that know all the resources available. I would have never found out about, you know, Gardner if it wasn't for that special ed teacher. So they are there. They're there for you. They love to help you. I've never met anyone to tell me, you know, I don't want to help your son or your daughter. They have the resources, and just, you know, you're not alone. There's a lot of families going through the same thing. So you just got to find that one family that, you know, that will have the information for you. You know, join the mom blogs online. Social media is another great tool. And sometimes it's hard because when you're a new parent, you don't even know what to look for. So when you're doing your research, you need to include the, you know, social media. And you know, check the news and all that, because it's overwhelming, and you might need someone to guide you along the way. I was lucky that I hit the right person on the phone. I got the right person on the phone, and she was more than open to give me information. But I understand how overwhelming it is. And you know, just remember you're not there alone. And just, you got to navigate. I think the mom blogs are so important. Social media pages like Jacksonville Mom that we have here, they share all these news, like for Step Up. They would share when the bill was signed and all that. So if you're not into that environment, like at least you will get the news and you'll know where to start.
So does this new law free you up any? Can you not have to translate at night and spend time with your family now?
Yes. Yes. I just feel like I'm going to have more time with the kiddos and maybe take some time for me too, you know, some self-care as well. And also, you know, it just gives you that certainty, that relief, that you're not going to be thinking what's going to happen tomorrow. we might be able to buy a new car. You know, my husband's truck is dying and it might need to be replaced. So certain things that at some point you might think is a luxury, but when you are so exhausted and you're running, you know, you're running on empty, those are reliefs. Like just me being able to take time to go to, you know, to exercise for 30 minutes. It's just something that is so little, but it can make such a difference. You know, taking the kids because they love to work out, you know, doing some yoga with them or something. It's just having the time to be with them and doing things with them too. Not just, you know, do your homework so you're busy while I work. You know, my daughter has, you know, when she was younger, she would just say, please turn off the computer. Please turn it off. You're not working. You're not working, because she was feeling displaced because mommy got home to the computer, you know, and she would tell me, I don't want you working. I didn't want my children to think that life, you know, you have to work and there's no fun in life.